I want to start by talking about four passages of Scripture that all say the exact same thing. And those four passages, one in the Old Testament, three in the New Testament, all talk about a very important thing God has to say about how we live. All right? So, all of these four passages, and I'm going to give them to you right now, they all contain one phrase identical in each one of them. That phrase is simply this: the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Very simple, isn't it? The just shall live by faith. So let me give you the four references. First, in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, if you can find that, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. All right, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Romans 1, 17. Some of us have probably taken all morning to find Habakkuk.
It's in the back.
I know, because I was there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians 3, 11. Hebrews 10, 38. I hear people rustling around, so somebody have Habakkuk want to read it for us? Go.
Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated, but he is without integrity. The righteous one will live by his faith.
The righteous one will live by his faith. Good. Anybody have Romans 1:17?
I do. You want me to read it? I got it. Okay. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Righteousness revealed in us, and the righteous, the just ones, will live by faith. Those who have been justified by faith and now are righteous in God's eyes will live by faith. There's this connection between righteousness and faith. And God wants those of us who now bear his righteousness, because you know, Jesus in Christ, the salvation God has given us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now God has robed us with the righteousness of his very own self. And now we don't walk around in our own righteousness. And because we have God's righteousness, he says, my people who bear my righteousness shall live by faith. So now the question is, I'll trust you all with Galatians 3:11. Oh, I didn't tell you Hebrews 10:38 yet, did I?
You did.
I'm sorry. I did? Okay, good. So we are called to live by faith. So what does that mean, to live by faith? Well, I want to take us to another passage now in the book of Romans that relates, and some of y'all are thinking, what does all this have to do about dating? We're going to get to the good stuff. Well, we're getting there. But this is all very important, because this is foundational, because all this has to do, as you're going to see, about how we think about dating is very important. And from what direction do we think about it? Romans chapter 14, verse 23. But the person who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because he is not eating from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Wow. So this is talking here in this context in Romans 14 about this idea of, can a person eat food offered to idols? Can I eat it? And what he is saying here is that if you are doubting something, then it means you're not walking by faith. Now, what he is saying here is very simply this, that when we walk by faith, we discern what God has said about something, and then we act and walk accordingly. That's walking by faith. Walking by doubting is going, well, you know, I guess, you know, God thinks it's okay, so maybe it's okay. Duh. And then you just kind of walk along in this kind of little serene, semi-innocent ignorance and fall into sin. The just shall live by faith. Faith means we don't guess and doubt about what God has to say. We go into the scripture and we find out what the Lord has to say. And then we say, Lord, by your grace, I want to live like this. Not because it's some kind of salute. Not because it's some kind of command that's like a divine fly swatter to whack you on the head every time you mess up. That's not God's love. God's love, because remember, like we're going to see in a minute, God created us, and he knows how we best function. And what God is saying is that when you walk in my love, you experience all that I have for you. And I want to help you to walk in my love. That's what he's saying. And we can choose to step out of that. And then there are consequences. And so he wants us to walk in his love. And he says, when you walk by faith, you trust my word, and you walk in my word. And when you walk in my word, you will be protected by my love. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. The just live by faith. We don't doubt, you know, in James chapter 1, verses 5 to verse 8, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't waver back and forth. Well, you know, maybe, well, maybe not. Oh, no. Jesus said, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Not yes, no, maybe so. No, because you end up in the wrong place. The just shall live by faith. And when it comes to dating, where do we get our ideas about dating from? What do we do on a date? I think somebody already said it. See, what do I do with this woman, with this guy that I'm going out on a date with? How do I even think about it? Do I think about it in a God kind of way, with the kind of wisdom that God gives, or do I think about it in some other kind of way? And what I would like to say to us, now notice which pronoun I used. I said us. I didn't say you. Us means I'm included. Right? Right. So this is what I'm saying to us, is that we have been shaped more deeply than we think by this world system in how we think about dating, about relating to the opposite sex. Because it's the water we swim in. I mean, come on, y'all. We were watching the TV last night. Y'all saw those commercials, Coors commercials? The Coors commercial. I'm going to get into it with y'all this morning. I ain't got time to play with it this morning. The camera angles train us how to look at women's bodies, don't they? All you got to do is look at the TV screen. It trains us. Oh, how to check them out. Now, is that what, come on, y'all. Is that what God created our sisters for? For us to oogle at their bodies? How does that make, I should get some of the sisters up here. How does that make y'all feel? Does it make them feel like queens created in the image of God? Because you see, that's how the world trains us as men to look at women. And I think it's sick because it disarms them. What do y'all think? Huh? Well, We, that's good. I'm gonna get warm up a little bit now. Stretching it out a little bit now. Very good. So when we think about the water we live and swim in, we have to realize that we have been shaped by a bunch of lies and half-truths. And what God says to us is the just shall live by faith. That means I look at God's word and I say, by his grace, not by my own strength, but by his grace, I want to walk in his word and be faithful to his word. And I'm going to choose to do that in the area of dating, because God has something to say about dating and about my relationships. So we're going to talk about relationships and intimacy and sexuality. And we're going to talk about them in that order. See, because a lot of us, see, we, again, the way we're taught to think, intimacy means sex. Wrong answer. A lot of people have sex and have no intimacy whatsoever. It's just somewhere between entertainment and what you do on Friday night. It's not intimacy. Intimacy is something very, very different and something very, very special. And so we're going to talk about relationships and intimacy, and then we're going to talk about sexuality. So let's start. And what I want to talk about first is let's talk about relationships and intimacy in a minute, for a minute here. Because when we talk about intimacy, we are talking about something that we all deeply desire, to have an intimate relationship with another human being. And when we talk about intimacy, we're talking about closeness. We're talking about someone you can trust with your soul. Someone you never have to look behind. Someone you can come to who is safe. And you can share your deepest heart, your deepest wound, your deepest struggle with. And you know that they are going to protect you. Now that's what we want. But what we do is we use sex to barter and manipulate one another. That's what the world wants us to do. And instead, God says to us, I want my children to live by faith. Faith that what I have said is true. Faith that they understand that the whole world system, 1 John 5:19, is under the control and dominance of the wicked one. And he has twisted and distorted the beauty of sexuality and the beauty of men and women relating to one another in purity and honesty and righteousness and justice. So, as we talk about intimacy and relationships, I want to talk about some things that build real intimacy in a relationship. And even, you know, as we here are on our team dates, right? Where we do team dates together, that's pretty good. I had a good time with the guys yesterday. I told them, I think y'all aren't doing as bad as y'all think you're doing. I said, go ahead, y'all. I mean, they're trying to be creative, and they're trying to learn a little bit, and they're messing up here and there, you know. I said, well, it's cool. I said, look, it's not important that you mess up, but learn, and mess up with grace. Mess up with grace. Just put grace all over. You'll be all right. So yeah, we had a good time with that. So I want to, and some of this, I was with the team leaders yesterday, so some of this for y'all is going to be a little repeat from yesterday, and I think that's a good thing too, sometimes. Because we'll dig into it. I got a few other little juicy gems I'm going to throw out that I didn't put out there yesterday. So let's go. All right, 5 keys to intimacy in relationships. And I said 5, I think I'm just going to do 4. And the first one is trust. The first one is trust. Now, again, what do we call? We're talking about intimacy in relationships. All right? Intimacy in relationships. Now, trust. Trust is confidence in 3 things about another person. It's confidence in another person's integrity, confidence in another's integrity, competence, and loyalty. Now let's think about relationships. Confidence in another's integrity. What is integrity all about? Integrity. Integrity means that it is, it's like, I studied in pre-med. In pre-med you'd study a lot of chemistry. And in chemistry, one of the things you talk about is homogeneous and heterogeneous substances, right? Homogeneous means it is the same throughout. If you go on this side, it's one thing. If you go in the middle, it's the same thing. If you go over here, if you go on Friday night, it's one thing. If you go on Saturday morning, it's the same thing. If you go on Sunday morning, it's the same thing. If you go on Tuesday afternoon, it's the same thing. Integrity. Not duplicity. Not one thing in one situation and then you change it and you're different over here. And when a person is a person of integrity, of wholeness, of oneness, then a person doesn't have to wonder what you're going to do behind their back. What you're going to say about them when they're not around. What you're going to brag about to your friends to your advantage and to their disadvantage. A person of integrity elicits trust. And one thing you cannot have, one thing you cannot have and have intimacy is mistrust. In order to be intimate and have an intimate relationship with someone, you have to have trust. Because if you don't have trust, a person is never going to open up, because one of the keys to intimacy is vulnerability. Vulnerability means, we were talking about this yesterday, vulnerability means not only do I open the curtain up and let you look into my life, that's transparency. And the sad thing is, that's as far as some relationships go. As a matter of fact, some relationships, the way they go, because of people's insecurities in their relationship, and it could be the guy or it could be the girl, it really doesn't matter. But they stand at the window of their life with their hand on the string to the blinds. And they open the blind up a little bit, they go, oh, that's enough, close it back up. Well, hold on, but I wanna really know and love you. Yeah, but I can't trust you. So I'm gonna open that, I'm gonna put a little creak in that blind, I'm gonna let you look, okay, that's enough. But I want to protect you. I want to provide. Yeah, but I can't trust you. Are we communicating? So transparency means I pull the blinds up and I let you look in. But then in your love for me, when you walk toward me, there's a glass up here. So you're in there smiling, but you won't let me in. That's transparency. That's why so many relationships are frustrated. And now, why all these everlasting love marriages, all these songs people play at weddings, man. They play all these songs at the weddings and they get divorced a year later. Now, what happened to everlasting love? Well, this, what I'm talking about right now is one of the things happened to everlasting love. The problem is we never learn to have an intimate relationship because we're too busy having sex before we got married. And we never learned about real intimacy. And God didn't make relationships to run on sex. And that's another lie that God wants us to walk by faith and debunk. So God wants us to grow to the place of trust first in Him, and then building a relationship of trust with one another, so that I don't just lift up the blinds in my life to someone else so they can look in, but I reach, because that window is also a sliding glass door that is locked. But I come to the place of first trusting God and then trusting you with me. And I open the door and I invite you in. And I'm telling you, we're going to get into it this morning. See? Because I have seen people on their wedding. Barbie and I have talked to couples on their wedding nights where the husband and wife spent time in separate rooms the night because of all the pain they brought. Because of their sexual life and their dating relationships before they got married. And these are two Christians getting married. And they never learned that trust and intimacy is what gives the quality of relationship they've longed for. And to be able to trust God and to trust my friend, my wife, my husband, to the place where I can open that door. And I can invite them in to know me. That's intimacy. Are we communicating? And what we want in a relationship is not to keep a person we love at a distance because we can't trust them. That's our first point. We can't trust them. But we want to come to build relationships of trust with the other person. So let's talk about how we build trust. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? See, now, what we're talking about, this is what relationships are about. All that baloney you see on TV about what kind of beer you drink and what kind of toothbrush you use and what kind of shaving cream and your axe. I'm going to get my axe. I shower with axe. What is axe going to do for you? Come on, y'all. People must, they must think, some of y'all, I don't want to insult anybody, some of y'all may be marketing majors. In which case, you really know what I'm talking about. Because marketing at times can be one step from manipulation. No insult to any marketing majors out here. Because we need some of God's people up in there to help get this thing straight. Thank you. I had to make sure I got that in for the brothers and sisters over here. So. Now, so let's talk about trust in relationships, and let's talk about how do we understand trust in the context of a relationship, and how do you build trust. And y'all, when I'm saying this, think about stuff like what you do on a date. When you're together on a date, what do you do on a date? See, are you building trust or are you building mistrust? Are you helping her to want to lift those blinds up? Or are you helping her to say, I ain't letting that brother in nothing up in here. Mm-mm. No, sir. Mm-mm. Sorry. Lights out. Key is closed, out, and thrown back here. You ain't getting any closer to me. Which direction are we going in building the relationship? Trust is earned. Trust is earned. This is not about you just give me your trust. No, brother. Don't go try that one down the street somewhere. No. Trust is earned and trust is easily wounded or broken. Trust is easily wounded or broken. And when it is broken, it needs to be repaired. It needs to be rebuilt. So we never get to put trust on autopilot. Well, you know, I did all this stuff for you last week, so now you trust me forever and ever. Yeah, and what about this week? So let's talk about some things. I want to start by talking about a few things that break trust. So we're going to talk about some things that break trust and then some things that build trust. So one of the biggest things that breaks trust is hypocrisy. And by hypocrisy, what I'm talking about is saying one thing or communicating one thing, but living in a different way. A hypocrite. A person who is not consistent in how they live, in what they say. Their life is hypocritical. They are inconsistent and they cannot be trusted. A person who tells lies or half-truths cannot be trusted. How about another one? A person who manipulates cannot be trusted because you never know what their real motive is. And to be trusted, people need to know enough about our hearts. We're going to talk about that in a minute, so that they can trust us. A person who is not faithful, in other words, they don't keep their word, they break promises. Well, I thought you said, well, yeah, I did, but you know, yeah, I always got an excuse. You can't trust people who always have excuses instead of just being faithful to the Lord. Being unreliable. So now let's change over. Let's talk about, so what are some things, let me mention three things that build trust. And one of them I've spoken already, so let me start with that one, which is integrity. Integrity elicits trust. The reason integrity elicits trust is that one of the ways we build integrity is through transparency and vulnerability. And again, the way vulnerability in particular builds trust is because when you are vulnerable, you open your life to another and you invite them to see what is going on the inside. And in a relationship, one of the things you want to be able to do is come to a place where you're experiencing vulnerability, transparency, and vulnerability with another person so that they can see who you really are. A lot of the problems that happen in dating relationships and marriage is that people, see, this is the idea of hypocrisy versus integrity. Integrity means I'm the same. You know what hypocrisy is? Hypocrisy comes from the Greek word hypokrites. And hypokrites in Greek means an actor. And in the first century, actors developed masks. They built masks, and they would wear a mask. A mask did two things. A mask projected one identity to the audience that they wanted the audience to believe was true about them, and it hid their true identity from the audience. Ouch. You see where I'm going with this? Because without knowing it, we spend so much time building masks. And in a relationship, what we marry a lot of times is not another human being, but a masked impression of the guy that we thought we were marrying. And then once they get you, they don't need the mask anymore. That's kind of like how you fish. Because when you fish, you take a piece of bait and you put a hook on it and you throw it in the water and you wait for the nice little trout to come along who goes, oh, a nice worm, chomp. Oh, there's a surprise in the worm. Hello, and now I'm in the fight for my life and I lose. And so often we are developing relationships where we are looking over here and we're looking over there. And we're figuring, what do I have to do to get her? Okay, let me put, all right, I think I need a little blue on my mask right here. No, I need a different kind of nose. Yeah. All right, now, what kind of music? Okay, I think she likes this kind. All right, so now I'm going to become a Beethoven man. I'm a Beethoven man. All right? I can't listen to hip-hop anymore. I got to get me a little Beethoven over here. All right. And so I got this nice mask all built up. And then I'm ready for my first date. Put my, you know, get my little, whatever that blue clone is they have with some guy standing up, you know, shooting up at the sky and all that. So I get my little cologne on and everything. And so I'm over here and all this. And I show up to the date with a great big mask on that has nothing in the world to do with who I am. I wonder if y'all understand what I'm talking about. How are you supposed to get to know someone? How are you supposed to trust someone when you're looking at them and you don't really know what you're really looking at? Because what you see may be so far from who they really are. How do you get behind the mask? You get behind the mask by being able to walk in a relationship with someone who may have never had the listen to me. Who may have never had the courage or been in a situation of safety in their life where they could lower the mask. And it's a beautiful thing because when you lower your mask, you come to a place where you can open the door and invite someone in. That's integrity. Integrity says, I am not going to use a mask to manipulate you so I can get you. That's what integrity is. And so God wants us, in building trust relationships, to be people of integrity who don't use masks to manipulate and trap people, but trust. See, because here's the deal. If we trust God, we don't need a mask. Because if we trust God, maybe just God Almighty, who decided Crab Nebula was going to be umpteen zillion light years from now and said, whoop, and it was just all there, might just have enough power to work in the life of this guy over here or this girl over here to help them see just how wonderful you really are. And maybe you don't have to manipulate them to get them. Maybe we can trust God that even without a mask, he could bring us together. I think that's trusting God. And when we trust God like that, you don't have to worry about undoing all the stuff that you do just to get the pudding. Well, you know, I'm not really like that. You know what I mean? That was just my screensaver. You know what I mean? I'm really a different kind of person. I hope you like me now. Well, no, we don't need to have that kind of conversation. Because we trust God, and we're trusting others, and we're going to be people of integrity, not those who spend time building masks and using our mask to get someone in a relationship. Secondly, faithfulness is a trust builder. Integrity first is a trust builder. Secondly, faithfulness is a trust builder in a relationship. Being faithful to my word, being reliable and consistent, that builds trust. A person who keeps her word, who keeps his word, and doesn't break promises. I like this somewhat humorous verse in Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. I don't like to go to the dentist, and I definitely don't like my foot out of joint, right? And so, but that's what it's like depending on trusting someone who is unfaithful. And that's how we build trust, by doing the opposite and being faithful in our words. Lastly, a good trust builder is commitment and loyalty. Commitment and loyalty. That is being loyal to a person. Now, isn't that a beautiful expression of love? Women, don't you want someone who's going to be loyal to you? Someone you don't have to worry about, but you know that when you're struggling, when you're hurting, on your good days, on your bad days, and you know you have bad days, right? Yeah, we do. Bad hair days, bad makeup days, bad emotion days, bummer days. We have bad days and we have nice good days. And you want someone who is going to be loyal to you, even on your bad days. Isn't that right? Yeah. That builds trust. And guys, I hope you're hearing this too, right? Because it's the bad days in relationship that builds the depth and the quality. It's not just when everything's going nice and you're riding the Ferris wheel and you're just going, oh, aren't the birds beautiful? Ain't we like birds? And they're just beautiful. I mean, you see colors you don't even know existed before, you know, and the hills are alive and all that stuff. And that's great. But when you really build depth in a relationship is on the bad days, and you demonstrate your loyalty to her or your loyalty to him. He's in another bed. He's insecure today because some other guy got a better grade than he did, or a promotion, or well, look at his body. My biceps aren't that big. Look at, oh God, look at his. Oh, I'm just, you know, woe is me and all that kind of stuff. Well, just tell him to get over it, you know, but hang in there with him. Be encouraging. Be loyal. Loyalty builds trust. Okay, so trust is the first, and I took a lot of time on that one because trust is a big one in relationships. We're not going to have intimacy if we don't have trust in a relationship. So that's why I want to take some good time. So I'm going to work through these next three pretty quickly. But I really want us to understand, because what we're talking about here, this is the stuff that makes a quality relationship. And this is what will make a relationship stand. A second thing is respect. First, trust. Number two is respect. Respect affirms and honors the dignity of another person. Respect affirms and honors the dignity of another person. And there are two words I want to use to describe and talk about respect in relationships. The first is the word boundaries. Boundaries. Respecting the other person's boundaries. In a relationship, a person that you are dating may not feel comfortable doing A or B. Will we respect their boundaries, or will we transgress or violate their boundaries? See, we want to communicate respect, because respect affirms the dignity of a woman. It respects the dignity of a guy to respect their boundaries. And those boundaries can change over the course of a relationship, but we walk with people where they are at the moment, and we respect the boundaries in their lives. Now, I'm thinking too here, I'm going to try to get through this, because I bet y'all probably got some questions if you're brave enough to ask them or whatever. So, but let's think about this, okay? Because I want to maybe leave us a little time here to have a conversation or two. Secondly is a second idea that gives us a way to communicate respect is the issue of permission. Permission. I don't just assume I have the right to step into a certain area of a person's life. In other words, I don't grab their sliding glass door and just open it. Oh, no. There's an issue of permission. I never violate another's person. But instead, you move, in a community of grace, in a relationship characterized by grace, there is always the issue, because permission communicates respect to another person. Permission, when I don't just step over the line with Barbie, but I said, honey, can I talk to you about this? Well, she might say, no, not right now. You know, this is not the best time for, can we talk about this tonight? Yeah, that sounds good. Great. That's permission. It's not just assuming, well, look, I got a word from God because I had quiet time this morning and we are going to talk right now. No, we're not going to talk right now. Or we're going to have a different conversation right now. That's what we're going to have right now. So let's decide which is going to be. So respect. And I'm going to get permission. I'm not just going to assume and presume myself on the person that I'm in relationship with. Respect. Okay, so trust number one. Respect number two. Number three is understanding. Ouch. Understanding. Proverbs 18:13. He or she that answers a matter before they hear it, it is folly and shame unto them. I don't know how many times I have had to confess to Barbie something I did not understand that she's been trying to tell me forever, or how many times we've sat down with other couples and he is railing and wailing on her and she is wailing on him, and we're just going, he's on this altitude, she's on that altitude, and they are totally missing one another. They are misunderstanding one another. Because they have not taken time to sit down and really understand, what is it she's trying to tell me? What is it? That's understanding. And then he's sitting down and he's saying, well, what is it that she's trying to say to me? What is this? What am I missing here? And sometimes it's good to even get a third party in to come help you if you're really missing one another. And that too is very helpful. but to pursue understanding, to communicate empathy. I like Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 12:15. Because it's important for us. See, Jesus did not just, I think we were talking about this with the team leaders today. You know, Jesus didn't run up to the lepers and he saw this leper over there and he said, okay, now y'all stay right there. No, I can smell y'all way over here, man. And so look, I'm Jesus, so look, in my name, y'all just be healed, okay? And now could y'all turn around and just go right back wherever y'all want to go, because that's close enough. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus walked right up to the lepers, and he put his hand, my brother's not a leper, but he put his hand right on these guys with this contagious disease. He touched them. That's empathy. Empathy means I get in there with you. It means that when you pull that door back, I don't just kind of look at the room and go, man, you know, you were right. That really is a mess in there. That's not understanding. Understanding is you step through the door and you lock arms with your friend and you say, you know what? We're going to walk through this together. Now that's understanding. Don't leave somebody alone. You step into it with them. Understanding is empathetic. Empathy means it's important to me how this is affecting you. That's love. That's true love. Understanding is important in developing real intimacy in a relationship. All right, now what I want to do is there's a last little section that I want to talk about here for a minute. And this is on the fourth principle here is sincere love. And I just want to look at a few verses. And intentionally, I'm only going to talk about four things. But here in 1 Corinthians 13, there's actually 16 different descriptions of love in here. And if anything should describe an intimate relationship, it should be love, right? Well, do you think the Bible has anything to say about love? Yes, it does, before anybody can even say anything. Yes, it does, because one of the things the Bible says is God is love. 1 John 4:7-8. God is love. So if God is love and we want to learn about love, I think we should see what God has to say about it, since he is love. So let me just mention three or four things about love that relate to relationships. Ooh, and I'm going to start with the first one, which is really good. We're going to have a good time with this one. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, and the very first phrase hits us square between the eyes. Boom. Love is patient. Ouch. Now, when I was looking at this, I said, you know, I am going to look up in the dictionary what patience means. I think I know what it means, but I want to understand it more completely. And when I did, I said, uh-oh, I wish I hadn't looked at that. So this is how many of the, like Merriam-Webster and others, define patience. Patience is the capacity of calm endurance. Calm. C-L, that's tranquility. That's quiet. That's peaceable. It's not agitated, throwing arms and dust in the air, yelling and screaming. But it says calm endurance. Wow. It gets even better. Listen to this one. Patience is tolerating something annoying without complaint. Am I patient in a relationship? This is what we're describing, is what love means. Love means I tolerate something that's annoying in a friend, in a boyfriend or a girlfriend, without being complaining about it. And then, now I say the best one for last. Now listen to this one. Patience means capable of bearing delay and waiting for the right moment. Capable of bearing delay and waiting for the right moment. And how many times in relationships do you hear people say, if you really loved me, you would fill in the blank. If you really love me. That is not love. That is lust. Lust can't wait to get. Love can't wait to give. Love doesn't pressure. Love is patient. Love is capable of bearing delay and waiting to the right moment. Bearing, that means carrying a load. The problem, people don't have love because they can't carry a load. They're not willing to carry a load. I know you got all this sexual desire in here. Good, carry the load. Because love puts a check on it. It says you wait till the right moment. And the right moment is after you say, I do. That's the right moment. Love is patient. Patience means capable of bearing the weight of delay and waiting until the right moment. Second thing, love is kind. And hang in there with me just a second. I'm just going to cover a couple more of these and we're going to take a breather and just think about this with each other. All right? Love is kind. Kindness. Friendly. Warm. Gracious. Gentle. Compassionate. And yes, men are kind. That's right. Men, we're supposed to be kind. I think there's even a phrase that we hear referred to men sometimes called gentlemen. Gentlemen, yes. That's actually a word. Gentleman. It's a man that is gentle. And it doesn't mean a man who just skips through the lilies, you know. Alright? A gentleman is a man. You know what a definition for gentleness is in a biblical sense, the word gentle? It is power under control. Gentle is someone who has power in their masculinity, but they use the God-given power in their masculinity to protect, to provide, to honor. Now, women, how would you like to have a man who is not so insecure? He's always trying to have to prove his masculinity, but instead, he is using his masculinity to protect you, to honor you, to cherish you, to make you feel like the queen that you are in the Lord's hands. That's the man that you want. That's what it means to be kind. You want to be around someone who is kind. And the scripture says love is kind. Love is not self-seeking, but the third one. Love is not self-seeking. That means it does what is best for the other. And as it says further down in 1 Corinthians 13, love doesn't demand its own way. See, so many arguments happen in couples because somebody is demanding that it's got to be their way. That's not love. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not self-seeking. Love is not self-seeking. Love seeks to serve the other. And see, we don't mind being called a servant. That's because, you know, we read all those verses on servanthood and all that. Oh, yeah, Jesus says, I've called you to be my servants and all this. Don't be, you know, lording over people, but be servants to all. Yeah, we like that. But we just don't like when people start treating us like a servant. Uh-uh, we're not going to go there. But let's serve one another as an expression of being that self-seeking. Now, the fourth one is love keeps no record of wrong. Love keeps no record of wrong. And so the simple comment under that is love is forgiving. We have to develop the spiritual discipline of giving and receiving forgiveness. I'm not going to talk about this yet, but with the team leaders yesterday, we talked about some things on forgiveness, right, team leaders? So you have permission to go talk to your team leaders and rib them so they can talk to you about that, because you talked about that with them yesterday. So have a good time talking about that with them. Because forgiveness is very, very important in a relationship. Otherwise, you know what happens? Otherwise, you accumulate all these wounds in a relationship, and that's why people get divorced. Because they don't know how to deal with the wounds in their relationship. And if you're married more than 3 days, you are accumulating wounding. And when we learn how to forgive and how to accept and receive forgiveness, it takes the power out of wounds, and those wounds can then heal. This is so important for us. Love forgives, and love accepts forgiveness. Let me do one last fifth one, and then I'm going to stop. Fifthly, love protects. Love protects. In a relationship, I am going to protect the person I'm in a relationship with. I'm going to protect their reputation. I'm going to protect their reputation. That means I'm not going to do things with them that are going to cast doubt or disdain on their reputation. I'm going to relate to them in a way that when people see us and hear about us as a couple, it makes her look better. It makes her look more like the queen that she really is. I'm going to protect her reputation. And so protecting is a part of love. And the same thing, women, with the guys that you date. Protect them. Protect their reputation. Do things that are going to protect them and not hurt them. And protecting is a part of love. So, all right, I'm going to stop there. I've kind of unloaded a whole bunch of stuff on you all so far, and I haven't even talked about sex yet. That's going to be for tonight. We'll start with that tonight. So I'm going to come out with guns blazing tonight. So, those of y'all who like to join us. So let me just stop for a minute because I've said a lot of stuff, but I felt like I wanted to start with this because so often when people talk about dating, they talk about sex, and sex and dating should not be in the same sentence. So we're trying to put in the sentence the stuff that should be in here with dating. And tonight we also hope, time permitting and all, to talk about some principles on dating, on how to think about when you're dating and what you do and all this sort of thing. But that'll be for later today. But I wanted to talk, because the things we talked about today are foundational. If you put trust and respect and understanding and love into how you build a relationship with someone, you're going to have something to cherish. And you're going to have a relationship with someone, hopefully very special, that is not only glorifying to God, but it is really, really sweet. And so let me just stop here and just say, all right, now, we've got some time left before 10:30. Do you all have any questions that we could get into here for a little bit that we might want to talk about? Yes?
In trust, you mentioned competence, but you didn't really, like, expound on that idea. Yes. What exactly does that mean?
Yes. Competence in relationship is probably... not the best choice of words, but let me explain what I mean by that, because I was thinking here in a broader term. It's hard to trust, for example, if I'm going to a doctor, and I'm going to trust the doctor, and I'm going in for heart surgery, but the guy I'm seeing is a dermatologist, I am probably not going to trust him to do surgery on me at that level. I'm going to go find the right person. And in relationship, There are some things in terms of competence, in the sense that some of the areas of competency in relationships are just along the lines of things like communication, how we communicate with one another. And so when I communicate, am I responsible or irresponsible in what I'm saying? For example, competency in relationship could be things like how I am aware of nonverbal communication. Some people are not aware
that when they're talking, they're sending off a whole lot more signals and messages than what they realize. And it's very negative or even inconsistent. Their tone of voice may be insulting, and they don't realize it. They could be, in terms of direction and conversation, they are the one who are always talking, they never listen. So there's some competent, so there are skills like that in relationship that it could be good to sharpen. And it's hard to trust when someone doesn't have, you're entrusting yourself to someone, but the very thing that you're trusting them to do well, they're doing poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, in your heart, you know, I can trust you so far, but you know what? I'm watching you, and you are demonstrating incompetence in this area. So I can't trust you with that. And in many cases, what a person simply has to do is to admit the weakness and ask for help. And in a relationship, that's the very good thing, because a lot of times, you know, guys feel like, you know, well, I'm the man, so I'm the man.
Uh-huh.
So I've got to do it. But the reality is, in a relationship, women may have, the woman in the relationship with us guys may be very gifted in some of the very areas that you are weak in. You are really bad with finances. I mean, B-A-ad, bad. And so she may be an accounting major, for crying out loud. So let her run the finances. Now here's a real deep one. This is real. Oh, this one will shake your boots a little bit. Because I'm telling you, women may also have the gift of leadership. And Barbie and I know some couples where the wife has the gift of leadership and the husband has the gift of health. Now he is still the head in the home. But if he is a head with a brain inside of it, he will realize that when it comes to leadership, she can help with decisive decisions that they need to make. That he may be a little wishy-washy on, and she looks at it and goes, boom, boom, boom. And if he's wise, he'll go, like she said, boom, boom, boom. Let's do it. So that's one of the ways we deal with competence issues, is by deferring to the strengths of the other, and then complementarily taking our strengths to protect the weaknesses of the other. But if the other is being so proud in their weaknesses that they're not willing to admit it, then there is a problem. So that's why, again, we talked about humility. Humility is so key. Because in humility, we submit ourselves to the strengths of another person so we can benefit from the protection and the blessing of their strength. Otherwise, they could have all the love for us and all the gifting, and we will never benefit from their gifts because we're too proud to receive. Very good. Thank you. Chris.
When would you start dating, and how would you start initiating a dating relationship,
and
who should start the initiation?
What
do you say?
Not an STBO.
All right.
Not an STBO.
When, where, how, why, let's talk. Okay, so when? No, really, somebody said something about that, and let's start. STP. All right, let's talk about STP. When I met Barbie, I was a missionary living in Moscow, Russia, not Moscow, Texas. All right? And in the commission that we were in, there was a no dating standard. Now, I wasn't real happy about that. Can I just go ahead and talk on where it is? Because that might even help a little bit. I didn't really like that. I didn't. I said, you know, I'm 38 years old, and I've still got to be under a no dating. Oh, I said, I'm going to hit somebody. And so that's how I felt. But let me tell you that I didn't allow my emotions to rule the day. Because here is what happens in this kind of a situation. So you have two people on a team, and they kind of get kind of in a relationship. And then sometimes the relationship goes solid. And when the relationship goes sour, it's like that verse in Hebrews 12:15, you know, looking diligently lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you thereby, and many be defiled, and many people be hurt by it. One of the big reasons that we don't want dating in a short amount of time, this is just like, what is the program, 6 weeks? Is it six?
Nine weeks.
So 9 weeks. You know, what I discovered the hard way, and it was hard, and let's just say it's hard, all right? But I will not die in 9 weeks. And God's will for my life will not be thwarted in 9 weeks, all right? But what 9 weeks does do is it gives me a chance to put my focus on the Lord. Because what I've noticed is that when my heart starts to move toward somebody else, it's not as easy for my heart to be focused on Jesus. And a training program is a time to put some focus on Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you might not notice someone else. And, you know, you have opportunities to be together. You know, you have dates, you know, team dates and all this sort of thing. But to pull away and date like that during a program works against the purpose of a time of really intense growth. And can I tell you a little something else, too? Like, you know, my first training program, like, I went to was, like, 1975 in the Navigators. So that's a few years between 1975 and now. And what I can tell you is people that have done this year after year, and they're married now, and they got kids, and they have great marriages and great relationships with each other. You know what they say? I am so glad I put a focus during that training program, not on running after Dorinda, because there was a student, Dorinda, in a relationship in one of those training programs I went to, and student and Dorinda are married now. They got grown kids. They got a great relationship. All this. They were at a training program together, and they chose to not go after their relationship with the training program. And they're going, man, ooh la la, we have got a sweet relationship. Because you know what? Because she put that time in that program on learning how to put her confidence in Jesus, so that when we got married, she wasn't trying to suck out of me all of the security that she could get out of a relationship that I couldn't give her, because she was supposed to get it from Jesus. And she learned that at the summer training program. And it blessed their marriage. So what I'm saying is that the hurt and the struggle of not going after a relationship in the middle of a training program can pay big dividends, because that's kind of the way God works. There's this thing about discipline in the Christian life that we don't like, but when we submit to it, and this is what Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says, it produces this amazing fruit in our lives. And so nobody is saying to us, don't date for the next 10 years. It's just for the next 9 weeks or 6 weeks now. And so that's the issue. So when to start? When to start? Now, let me just hit this kind of quickly. But when to start is an issue of a couple of different things. All right, first is prayer to God and a willingness in your heart. See, part of what we're saying here is that, have y'all ever heard of a term called the basics of the Christian life? Things like the Word and prayer and lordship. That is the stuff that makes dating work. So, one of the most important principles to figure out when you start a relationship is you start a relationship when the Lord provides and guides you to make it right. So what I'm saying is this. To begin trying to decide when I start a relationship, I start that question, I start getting that answer before God by saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Because if we're starting with love, love means I'm going to do it God's way. And God's timing is perfect. And there is no formula that says A plus B equals next week we go out on a date. And so what there is James 1:5. Lord, I don't have the wisdom to know. Lord, when is the best time? Is it this week? Is it next week? Are we ready? Can I ask her out? See, that is something we want to be open before the Lord on. All right, so that's one thing. Here's the second thing that is very, very important, especially when it comes to relationships, and that is the issue of counsel. Of counsel. And there are a gazillion proverbs. I'll just pick one like Proverbs 11:14. Where no counsel is, the people perish, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And when it comes to dating, I remember when I really, really began to get really excited about Barbie, the very first thing I did was not figure out on my own when I'm going to go out on a date with her. The first thing I did was called up two friends I have that knew me, and I knew I could trust them because they had my back. And I said, hey, man, look, here's what's going on. My heart is all messed up. I can't see straight. Could you help me out of this thing? And so we talked it over, and they listened to me, and they just threw out a few ideas, and then I could recognize the wisdom of God in that. So the question, when can I start dating, is something that you settle with the Lord. And I would encourage you to find someone who is spiritually mature to walk with you in that journey. Because part of the win has to do with me. Am I ready for this? Is this the best? And so one of the things you hear me saying that let me just draw out right now is the issue of timing. And I don't know if I mentioned Ecclesiastes 8:5 the other day, but just a principle of wisdom in Scripture that I come back to over and over again. It might be the right judgment or the right thing, but it's not the right time. Timing is a very, very important thing. And so to jump into a relationship or to go out on the first date, there could be an issue of time or timing. Because the person may be in the middle of an exam period or they have a major project done and they really need to focus on that. And to jump in right there is not capable of bearing the laying waiting until the right moment. So there are a number of issues, I think, that speak to when I can go on in a date. And I'm looking at our time now. What I'm going to say is this. I'm going to defer the rest of the question to tonight. And we've got some serious ideas we want to throw out tonight on answering that question and a whole lot more on dating. And we will start there tonight. And so it's two big things we're going to talk about tonight, Lord willing, in our time together. And one will be these five expressions of faith in dating and looking at all kinds of principles on how you date and what you do when you date and how to think about that. And then tonight we're going to talk about sex as well, too. Notice I didn't say sex and dating. But we're going to talk about God's plan, beauty, the wonder, and the power of our sexuality. All right? So let me just have a word of prayer. I'll turn that over. All right, thank you, Tom. Lord, we do thank you so much for the power of your word. And we thank you, Father, for the way that you do speak so clearly to us. Lord, I do ask for my sisters and my brothers here. Lord, would you take the things that we have shared from your word and would you speak to their hearts? Father, I just long to see years into the future where I can run into couples among those who are here, whether they're married to each other or married to others, and to see, Lord, relationships of trust and respect, of deep mutual understanding, of commitments of sincere love to one another, and just shine out the glory of God and bring his blessing in ways that are unimaginably joyful into their lives. Would you bless them? Would you guide them to make wise decisions when they think about the things that build a truly intimate relationship with another person? Father, would you bless them and would you take them deeper into the truths and realities of your kingdom that will bless them to build godly and intimate relationships with the opposite sex. In Jesus' name, amen.